Praise God. Well, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. We're on step number two. We talked about step number two last week. It's know the reality of our redemption in Christ. Know the reality of our redemption in Christ. We talked about that last week. We're going to continue on that today, tonight. So why don't we all, let's open to Colossians 1. Verse 13. Everybody there? Colossians 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Let's read, did I start in verse 12 or 13? Let's read verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." So we need to know that the reality of our redemption in Christ, we need to know that it's not just a doctrine, it's not just a philosophy, it's not just a creed. So in other words, it's not that, well, you know, we believe that we're redeemed in Christ, that's what we believe as just kind of a belief system, as just a doctrine, as just a creed. You know, me and my friends, you know, we believe that we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody asks you, "How you do?" "I'm redeemed, brother. I'm redeemed." You know people do that, right? And it doesn't mean a thing in the world to them. It's just religion. Did you know we could have religion and we're in faith circles? Yeah, we can have religion. You could grow up around things and you can believe. You know, it's like we can point our finger at somebody else in some other group and say, well, why do they do that? I mean, that's not in the Word, or doesn't seem like they really believe it. They just do it because everybody else did, or they just did it because that's the way they were taught. Somebody said, you know, you got to be careful. When you're pointing a finger at somebody else, that's 1, 2, 3 fingers pointing back at you. And like one guy you said, he said, 4 if you have a curly thumb. You've got to be careful about looking at our people and say, well, I don't know about that. Because, you know, we have religion in our circles too. Do you know that? What is religion? It's just man-made. Something can be religion that has no basis in the Word, but it also can just, you can just get religious about something that is completely in the Word, but it is dead to you. I mean, how many of you know almost every denomination, you know, in Christianity was at some point alive? It was, the move of God was going through. There's a reason why there's all these denominations. It didn't have to be like that. But, you know, there was something going on, and the move of God was going, and people were excited about it, and it was real to them, and it was a real truth in their life. They were excited about it, and they were going on with it. But then it started to wane, and maybe they had children, and people are growing up in that, and it started to wane. People lost sight of the real truth, and pretty soon you have a church full of people that in form are doing the same things, but the life is not there anymore. They don't really believe it anymore. And there's a move of God, and something else is happening, and somebody else takes it and runs with it, and these people won't. They're stuck. They're like, no, 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 no. This is the way we do it. We don't. No, no, no. We do it this way. And so the people that are ready to move on with God leave. And the former denomination, they won't have anything to do with them. They won't move. So then they form a new denomination and rinse and repeat throughout history. So you and I, we like to think in our circles, well, we got the Word. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the full gospel. But what you have to be careful of, we all have to be careful, is that there's not just religion in our life, and there is in every one of our lives. Don't fool yourself. I shouldn't fool myself. We have things in our life that, as much as we think we're just Word, that's not a bad confession. That's just reality. You have some things that you're doing because that's the way you've seen, that's the way you've heard. It's not because you are really acting on the Word and that it's alive and that you believe it now, that it's alive, vital, and that we're grabbing hold of it now. Well, this can be like that. All these things that we're talking about that we'll get to can be like that. If they're just like, well, yeah, I believe that. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. I believe that. But it's not vital and living, then watch out. It can become where it's just a form. The problem with that is that you can become self-deceived because you think you know it, and you think, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard it. I know it. And so you look for something else. And all the while, the reality, if we had the reality of, say, this truth in our lives, and it was vital to us, it was real, that it changes our whole perspective. So this thing that we're talking about, the reality of our redemption in Christ, it can't just be that, oh yeah, I believe, I've been redeemed. It can't be that it's something, you could say that 50 times a day, that doesn't mean you understand it. I encourage you to say, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Say that. You believe that. But we got to know that that has to be real to us. How does it become real? By meditating on the Word, by acting on the Word. Faith is acting on the Word. If we think we have faith, yet we don't actually act on the Word, so I've heard it, but I'm not actually going to act on that yet. I'm not ready to do it yet, but I've heard it. Now put that, think about somebody who's not a Christian, yet they've heard the gospel, but they just don't know. It's not time to act on it. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to make the decision today. They're in a service again, and they've heard it before, and they hear the gospel preached. They hear that Jesus died for their sins, that He rose, that His blood was shed for them, but they're not going to act on it today. And, you know, the preacher says, you know, anybody, eyes closed, heads bowed, anybody that wants to accept Jesus today, and they just got done with the salvation message, and their heart's beating fast, and their, you know, blood's rushing to their head, and they know they should go, but I'm not going to do it today. Maybe I'll do it later. Is that faith? Faith is stirring in their life, but are they going to get born again that way? No. How are they going to get born again? They're going to have to act on the Word they heard and act like it's true and say, I want it now, today. I heard what you said. I heard the Word of God preached. I believe it in my heart. I'm confessing it today. I want to be saved. Right? That's how you're saved. Now, what if they had heard the Word on salvation for 50 years, and you started saying something, somebody on the street started saying, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I've heard that. Cut them off. Start saying all the things they're going to say. Yeah, I can quit. And they could maybe quote more scripture than the person that was talking to them. They could quote, yeah, no Romans 10, and you know, I know Ephesians, I know all the scripture, I know John 3, I know that one, yeah, I know that too. And yet they could sit there and be going to hell. And the person that's talking to them, maybe completely fresh, completely new, but they're born again, they're excited about it, they know Jesus, they love Jesus, don't know a whole lot about Jesus, but they love Him and they're going after it with their whole heart. Now, which one is in faith and which one is acting in the reality of it? And then which one is just an empty knowledge and they haven't actually acted on anything? They know some stuff with their head, But they're not actually living it. So if we can do that with salvation, the most important thing, do you think we could do that with any other truth? Yeah. That we've heard it. We may have heard it over and over and over, just haven't got to the place where we're actually going to act on it. Maybe some other time. Just not completely convinced, not today. Do you know if the enemy can get you to not do it today and keep you there? If it's just tomorrow, I'm not going to do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. The enemy loves tomorrow because nobody ever lives in tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, it's today. But if you're going to do it then tomorrow, you're still not going to do it today, which means no change, which means no faith, because you're not going to act on it now. So the enemy likes that. He'll play that game. He'll play that game our whole lives. What if somebody pushed off and said, it's always going to be tomorrow, and I'm not going to receive Jesus today, maybe tomorrow? And what if they come to the end of their life and they just kept pushing it off? You know, people die this way. God's going to heal me tomorrow. I know God's going to heal me. You know, faith isn't future tense. That's in the future. If we can push it off and off and off, and if it's something that's terminal, you get to the point where you're not believing God, and you die. And people say, "Well, I heard them; they were believing God." No, you know what? I heard Brother Hagin tell this account. He was in. Think about this. He came to preach at a church where the pastor's wife had died, like at 38 or 39, of cancer or something. And it was, I think it was several years after that. And he came, and he felt like he was supposed to go to this church and preach on divine healing. He said, you talk about an atmosphere in that church. You imagine it? And they used to preach divine healing. And she died. He said, talk about hard. The atmosphere, because people, we believed that. Pastor's wife's dead. Just hung over the congregation. You can imagine that, right? I mean, this is real. And so he's preaching, and he preaches on divine healing. And the pastor came up to him, you know, he was there for a while, and the pastor came up to him finally after. He goes, thank you. Thank you for obeying God and coming and preaching on that. He said, I'm seeing it. He said, I see. He goes, for the first time, I'm starting to see. There's just been like a cloud over me. But it's lifting. I've started to see. I've been mad at God. Because I thought we were believing. We thought we were in faith. And from what you're teaching, I realized, and he was teaching on faith and some healing. He said, I realized we weren't in faith. He goes, the morning that she died, my wife said, I just believe God's going to heal me. I believe God's going to heal me. And she slipped away that morning. He said, we weren't in faith. We didn't know what faith was. We kept pushing it out. She wasn't in faith. She didn't believe that God had done it and that she took it and that's it. I'm healed. She said, it's going to happen. I know God will heal me. And with a terminal case, you can't push it out. You run up against a wall. And then people say, well, what happened to that person? Why did they die? I heard them. It doesn't matter what they say. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be real. We don't always hear what everybody says. In healing school, and some of the instructors that have taught there and worked at Rhema over and over, That's what they would say. You would hear people. They said they would hear people speaking. You know, they go home on Friday, and it's like their confession sounds right. It sounds like they're doing the right thing. And they say, come Monday, I mean, they've gone backwards. And then, you know, people slip away. And the fact is they really weren't grabbing hold of it. They weren't believing it. It was going to be sometime. It wasn't a reality. Praise God. When we're talking about this being redeemed, we're talking about reality. We're not talking about some nice doctrine that makes us feel good. We're talking about the reality that God, through Jesus, actually redeemed us and moved us from the power of Satan into the family of Almighty God. And that's real. And that's reality. And it has to be something that we act on and believe and take and act on it now. And believe it. We read some of it. Let's just go through this again. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Just look right there. Giving thanks to the Father who what? Has qualified. Is that future tense, present tense, or past tense? Past tense. That means we have been qualified. So if we have been, what does that mean about now? Are we?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. Not going to be. Are. Today. We're qualified. Qualified what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, He has delivered us. The past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense. He has delivered us. Has delivered us, right? From the power of darkness and conveyed us. Same thing. Is that past tense? That means He did do that. He did convey us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So if He took us, if He delivered us from the power of darkness and He conveyed us and translated us into the kingdom of God, where are we right now? Are we in the power of darkness? This is the power of darkness. This is the kingdom of God. God said He has translated us, has conveyed us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God. Where am I now? Where are you now? What if you don't feel like you're in the kingdom of God? What if you feel like, if I look around, I feel like I'm in the power of darkness and the devil's just eating my lunch. But what does the Bible say? And what's reality? Are you over here? Or are you over here according to the Word? You're here.
Yes.
Now what if you say, but I know I'm redeemed, and you go home and you say, what we say, quote unquote, in church, I'm redeemed. Oh, hallelujah. Been redeemed. Thank God He has redeemed me. And part of that is I've moved from here to here. Now something hits you and circumstances look like you're here. If you say, the devil's beating me up. I don't know why this is happening. The devil's got my number. I don't know how I'm going to come out of this. What are you declaring in your life? Are you declaring, I'm in the kingdom of God, I've been translated, or are you in effect declaring, I'm still in the power of darkness? You're declaring, I'm still here. Because what you're saying is the devil, yeah, I know what they say at church. I know I'm supposed to be redeemed, but all you have to do is look around. I'm getting knocked every which way. And what does that mean? I'm in the power of darkness. That means the devil's doing something to me which I can't control, which means I'm in the power of darkness. That's what I'm saying with my words. That's what I'm saying with my actions. I can talk about how I'm redeemed in church all I want. I can go sing with the radio or the MP3 player or the CD player about how I've been redeemed. But if in my life I act and say that I can't win or this is going to turn out bad, I'm effectively saying that the devil has power over me, which means I don't really care what I say I believe in church. This is what I believe. I believe I'm in the power of darkness. Do you see that? I'm right here. And it doesn't matter. It's the same thing as a person that just says something, you know, yeah, I know what Jesus did to me, but they won't act on it and receive him. We can say we believe this. And it's the right thing to say, and I've heard, I can name 10 people that I've heard preach it, and oh yeah, brother and sister, I know I'm redeemed. Oh yeah, I know. But I go home, and what I see in the mirror, and what I see in my checkbook is that I'm in the power of darkness. And I can say that all I want as far as not really say it with my conviction, but I can talk a good talk in church, and I can talk a good talk when I'm around Christians, and I can smile real big. But what I really believe is that I'm right here and that the devil is lording it over me. Now, how are we going to get, what's going to make the difference in our life is when we take it as not just something I heard, but in reality that Jesus Christ died on that cross and he shed his blood, and that because of that and because I've accepted that, and another part that I'll get to in a second, that I am in reality redeemed. I don't care what it looks like. That does not affect reality. I am, in fact, here. Amen. That's what it has to be like. Praise God. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption, have. Past, present, future. That we have is present. I'm not trying to trick you. Have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice that we have redemption through his blood. Turn over to Revelation 12:11. Praise you, Lord. Washing of water by the word. We are getting washed and cleansed right now. Our minds are being renewed right now. We're just taking a bath in this. We're immersing ourselves in this. The anointing of God is here to enlighten us in this, right now. Things are clear right now. You're more in the Spirit than you realize right now. When it's that clear, when things are becoming clear, you know what I'm talking about right now? It's because the anointing of God is here. It's because we're hooked up with our Spirit, and our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are seeing truth because the illumination of God's Word is coming right now. And we're seeing things. You can say, how come I didn't see that? Because right now it's being quickened to us. This is real. Our spiritual eyes are being opened right now. Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, we just read, don't turn back over there, but in Colossians it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is the basis for our redemption. It's our basis for being redeemed. If there was no blood shed on that cross, we cannot be redeemed. This is a fact in this world that we live in, earth. Man fell. I want you to get the legality and the reality of this. Adam committed high treason against God Almighty, and he fell, and he bowed his knee to Satan. And all Adam's offspring, from that time till this, were Satan's servants, bond servants, slaves. He owns us if we haven't been bought by the Lamb. But I'm talking about mankind. Legally, nothing God could do about it. He did what he did through Jesus, but I'm saying there had to be something. He couldn't just say, time out, do over, no, I'm taking them back. No, this is a legal thing. You got to understand the legality of it and the reality of it to understand redemption. That Satan owned us legally. We're in his family, and he's a horrible father. Mistreats his children, but he owns us. And the blood had to be shed and had to be make the payment to redeem man back into the family of God, to make a way so that legally mankind and God could be just and holy in making a way so that men could come back. He couldn't just take them and say, I'm taking them back. I'm taking that one back. I'm taking that one back. Satan would say, no, you have no right. And the whole universe would back him up. And God can't go against his word. Everything would fall apart. Because it's upheld by the word of his power. God can't just say, nope, sorry, forget all that, forget what Adam did. Nope, we're taking everybody over here. Nope. Satan could stand up and say, unjust, no, you cannot do that. And he'd be right. So God had to send Jesus, a man, to come and shed his blood so that we could have a way to be redeemed. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no redemption. It doesn't matter what we did. So if you see this, you will see why no other religion, it doesn't matter what you do, if we're legally in the power of Satan, it doesn't matter if you're the best human being on the face of the earth, he owns you. Period. The only thing that could take us out is the blood of God's Son had to be shed. You say, how does that work? I don't know how the transaction, you know, how it comes in the balance of all the world and the universe. But the Bible says it. And the Bible says the price was paid and had to be paid. And it said it was paid in full. And it said if we'll take that and believe it and take that sacrifice, then we can be redeemed and translated into the kingdom of God. Not because of how good we did anything, because that was not enough. It couldn't move us. It couldn't move us over. But the blood of the Lamb redeemed us once and for all. So that is the absolute basis, our complete basis for being redeemed is the blood of the Lamb. But we have to add something to it. You say, you can't add something to the finished work of Jesus. No, Jesus made it possible. And we receive that. But we have to enforce it in our lives. Notice what it says in Revelation 12, 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Notice it didn't just say the blood of the Lamb. It said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The blood of the Lamb is the basis for our victory. It's the basis. But you have to add your testimony to that, or add your confession to that. You have to stand your ground against the enemy with your confession of faith in God's word, because Satan is the god of this world. And he will try to have authority over you. Now this right here is a crucial point. What did we read in Colossians? We read that, now tell me again, this is the power of Satan. This is the family of Almighty God. Are we in the power of Satan, or are we over here under the power and family of God? By the word, we're here. Circumstance and Satan himself are going to try to convince you that you're here. He will try to exercise authority over you. Mark my word, he will try. And so in the face of that, we have to stand our ground and say, no, I am redeemed. No, I have what God said I have. He's going to try to get you to agree with him and say what he wants you to say about the situation. He'll want you to say defeat. Because when you say it, see, Jesus has purchased it for us. Tell me how you're born again. You're born again by believing what Jesus did in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. If you were just to hear the word and don't act on it and don't say it, it's not going to be real in your life. And it's the same thing with any other part of God's word. The redemption, the fact that he has redeemed us, we have to stand up and declare that and stick to it. Because we have authority in our life. God, through Jesus, has redeemed us, but we have to take hold of it and say, that's mine. That's mine. What God has said, I believe it. Satan will try to exercise his authority over you in this life. But you simply have to know that you've been delivered from the power of darkness and from the authority of Satan through the blood of Jesus. Did you hear me? You have to know it. We have to know this. We have to know it like we know the multiplication tables. You have to know it's true. Faith can't believe beyond knowledge. If you receive this and you understand that the devil had me, but because of Jesus, he has no right. He has no legal ground. He's a toothless dog. I mean, he can't do anything to me. He can bark. He can roar like a lion. but he cannot have authority over me. It's before the foundation of the world. It's a done deal. I've already received Jesus. I'm in the family of God, and I'm going to stand up. And when he tries to tell me that he has authority over him, I'm calling his bluff and saying, no, this is what the word says. I believe the word. Get out of here and exercise authority against him. It doesn't do any good to say, okay, I get that. I'll do it next time. I really want to believe that, but I just feel like it's not true. I feel, but I just need more. I just need to have more. I just need to feel it. No. We need to know that it's a legal fact and act on it. Amen. Just the fact that you know. If somebody tried to come into your house and say, this is my house now. You leave. This is my furniture. What if they came in and said, about your spouse, that's my wife. That's my husband. You leave. I'm living here now. Would you let them? Would you say, oh, sorry, for the last 30 years I've lived, my fault, bye. Would you do that? Why not? It's not true. Do you know something else is true? Could anybody convince you that that house was not yours and that that wasn't your wife looking back at you? Could anybody convince you of that? Could they? You've lived, you know. Right? They could not convince you anything else. So this is the same way we have to be with the Word of God, with this. You cannot sit, because Satan, you talk about a deceiver. You talk about a liar. You talk about a con artist. You talk about a swindler. There is nobody on the face of the earth that you've ever met that holds a candle to him. Anything they learn from him, and he's got a whole other bag of tricks. So he comes and he tries to convince you that what is yours is actually not yours. What God said, oh, that's not really true. This is where you are. You're over here. I don't care what they said in church. Care what the Bible said. Look around you, buddy. You're here. Right? And so what's he trying to get you to do? Let me ask you this. If somebody came into your house and said, this is my house, get out, and you said, okay, it is your house, and left, and you agreed with them, and let's say they said, this is my house, and we're going down right now, and we're changing the document at the courthouse. And you went with them, and you signed it over to them? Whose house is it now? Yes. Why? Because they just had so much power over you? Because you agreed with them, right? If you agree with them, they can do whatever. They say, and you know, all that money you have in savings, it's mine too. Write me a check. Let's go cash. Or better yet, let's just go down to the bank right now and let's withdraw it. If you agreed and handed it to him? Huh? You said it's stupid? What? Well, it's the same thing. The devil comes to us and he says, you're not here. You're here. And he's going to talk to you, and he's going to point you to symptoms, and he's going to point you to circumstance, and say, I don't care. You may have got over there for a little bit, but you're right here, buddy. I own you. You're never going to be over there. I don't care what they said in church. You're here. If you agree with him, guess where you are? Even though reality, you're over there, guess where you're going to live? You're going to live here. But what if we take the word and we say, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I'm here. I'm here. I don't care who you are and who you said you are. This is my house. Now get off my property or I'm calling the police. You think this money is yours? No, it's mine. Now leave and shut up. And get off my property and don't let me ever see you here again. What happens then? They have to leave. You know, in the old times, then they pull out their gun. Shoot it in the air and say, get off my property, right? I don't think that's such a bad thing myself. You got the stuff, don't, you know, you can back it up. Some people say, well, I just don't have anything. Well, you know what? Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can know what Jesus has done for us, but we can't roll over and go, God, I'm so sorry. This was so hard. I know what you said you did for me, but this is so hard. I don't feel like it. I don't think I'm ever going to make it. I'm not saying you don't feel like doing that. I'm not making light of any circumstance. What's going to happen if we do that? Who are we agreeing with if we do that? And it doesn't matter that the blood of the Lamb has redeemed us and that we are actually here. So we have to know what God said and we have to act on it. It doesn't matter what's going on. We have to keep our confession and say, I'm redeemed. I said, I'm redeemed. As new creatures in Christ, Satan's dominion over us has ended. It's ended for us. It has ended. It's a fact. Before all the world, all the demons know it. All the angels know it. Satan himself knows it. But he's going to try to bluff as many people as he can take. If he can bluff them, he's going to bluff them. Even though he knows he has no legal right, he's going to push to see if we know. He's going to try to push. But the thing is, if we'll stay right here and say, you can howl all you want, I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. The blood of the Lamb redeemed me, and therefore I have what God says I have. Jesus is the Lord and the head of the new creature, and corporately, the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of his body. The whole body of believers is a new man in Christ, and each one of us individually is a new creature because we are all members of that body. Satan has no right to rule over the body of Christ. He has no right to rule over us individually either. Christ is the head of the body. And he is the one who is to rule and dominate his own body, corporately and individually. Satan is not. Jesus is our head. We have been redeemed. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. And not move. And not move. I want you to leave with this picture in your mind of two areas and me here. This is the barrier, the power of darkness. This is the power of God and the family of God. And you see yourself here, period. And that you don't move. Anytime you're tempted to start siding in with the devil, just imagine the devil's trying to get you to agree and say, I'm over here, and that you're saying, no, I'm here. and stay here. And stay here. And even if you feel like saying everything about how you're over here, you say, no, 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 I'm redeemed. I'm here. I'm here. That means sickness has to flee. Yes. No, I've been redeemed from sickness. Yeah, but I feel that. No, I'm here. Anytime you start feeling like you want to go over here, just get this and blaze in your mind that, no, I'm here. This is what the Bible says. I'm here. I'm going to say I'm here. I'm acting on it here. I'm not going to be hoodwinked and bluffed into going over there. I am here. When he tells you, you're a failure, you're never going to get anywhere. You may have been here for a little bit, but you're going to go over there. You said, no, I am here. I don't care what it looks like. I may have failed 15 times in a row, but I'm here. I'm redeemed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We stand up and say that, and if we won't, if we refuse to let go, then God will back up his word. He will. The power of the word of God will keep us here. But we overcame and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And know this reality that it's a fact and nothing can change that fact. Nothing can change it, and I will stay here and live here as long as I don't give into it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.